Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And what would that be?
Well, cities across the country are pleading with people to stop throwing their protective gloves on the ground after using them.
I saw that the other day in the parking lot, and it disgusted me as bad as when you see the cigarette, the ashtray dumped or the disposable diaper.
Litter is a growing problem in many places, not just here, as people are leaving stores and shedding their latex or nitrile gloves and just throwing them on the ground. When asked why they're doing it, several anecdotal reports have people saying, well, they don't want to bring the germs from the store into their car, and there are no trash cans to throw them in.
I've seen a lot of trash cans outside of stores. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you're pushing the buggy to the car. Now, you get to the car. At what point do you take off the gloves? Before or after you put the groceries in the car? Because if you take them off before, then you're getting the germs from the groceries in the bags on your hands. If you take them off after, you're putting the germs from the gloves onto the bags and putting them in your car. There's just no winning here.
What about when you get home?
Well, they don't want to touch their steering wheel with the gloves. So I say this, walk back to the store if there's a trash can out front and throw the gloves away. But people are lazy and don't want to do that. So maybe they just need to put trash cans, you know, next to every two or three spots in the parking lot so people stop littering.
Well, it'd be a good idea to prevent door dings.
Put trash cans in every other space. There you go. But then where are people going to park?
Cows. Remember we were talking about the cows before?
Yes, when they come home.
Yeah, no, about my puzzle that I put together.
Oh,
I was fascinated
when you
with
were 16
cows.
Years old, you did a puzzle with pieces the size of your hand, and you became fascinated
been 16.
With cows.
I may have been kidding about that. I may have been like 7.
Okay, that's better.
But they had all these different cows, like a black and white. Do you know what those are called?
I'm not a cow expert.
Holsteins. The brown and white ones that look like, you know, they got meat written them all over. Get meat written all over.
I've never looked at a cow and said,
"Oh, you have."
Look at that steak.
Some of these big, hence the term beefy, some of these big beefy cattle, it's like, I guess I see some strips there. Ooh, look at that porterhouse. Mm-hmm. Those are called Hereford. I don't know if you knew that or not. And then, of course, there are Guernsey cattle that are primarily milk cows that come from Guernsey. So there
Where
you
is
go.
Guernsey?
Everything you ever wanted to know about.
Well, what's a Jersey cow?
Cows. What's that?
Well, there's a Jersey cattle.
Yeah, just rude. Just rude. Hey, you gonna milk me? You think you're gonna milk me?
You better not.
You're not tough enough to milk me. Besides, I'm a bull. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, please.
And talk to Christopher Fields, our friend, HR expert, and consultant. You milking me? You gotta be milking me because there's nobody else here. Now I'm confusing taxi driver with that. All right, Christopher Fields joins us, HR expert and consultant, expert resume writer, and I think we should start talking to him before I need a resume written. Hey, Christopher, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Welcome to Belchase, Louisiana. That is where we're doing a work from today as we try to work from home, as are, I guess, a lot of people. Do you always work from home or not?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while now, and but it's different now. Even though I've been doing it for several years, I've always had the opportunity to leave and go to the park or go to the store and do whatever I wanted to do. And now, not having the ability to do that is very different now. So, but yeah, I've been doing it for a while, and it's strange.
Has it affected your business any?
Yeah, I haven't really had any new customers in about a month. But I've had some inquiries, and I had some people ask me, you know, are you still working? I'm going to need you soon. So I think it's going to gear up here. I hate to say this, Tommy, but I think when some of those stimulus checks starts coming in, I think some people are going to be looking to get their resumes updated.
I think so. I think, you know, let me start by talking about ebb and flow in terms of people. You're an HR expert. When it comes to people, I don't know if you call it displacement in the economy or what the phrase is, but either you're a gig worker and you say, you know what, I'm not going through this again. I'm going to get a regular job. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but just a traditional job. Let me say that. Is there going to be a lot of change? Do you see happening as far as that goes? Or maybe the other way, maybe, you know, a person is employed by a company and then gets laid off or fired, and they say, you know what, screw this, I'm going to start my own business, etc. How do you see this all changing the employment picture in the country?
You know, that's an excellent question, because I hadn't considered it, but I do think that will happen, because that actually happened to me during the last recession. When I got laid off, I vowed that I would never get laid off again. And that's when I started my own business to do what I was doing. And I know a lot of other people did the same thing. You know, they said, enough is enough, I'm tired of working for someone else anyway, so I'm going to start my own thing. And, you know, when we were coming out of the last recession, new businesses was the backbone. So that's a very good question. I think it will be a lot of people that say, you know what, I don't like that feeling. I don't want to go through that. I've always wanted to try this, so I'm just going to try it. I do think that's going to happen. I do think we're going to have some people who don't have that option or flexibility because of family and things like that, and so they're going to have to go back to work and, you know, try to rebuild.
Economics, pure economics, I don't know if you want to call it Austrian economics, but they don't take into effect the human aspect of this in terms of having to move, having to do this, having to do that. They strictly look at it as supply and demand, et cetera. Do you see a lot of people maybe moving to cities and getting different starts? Is there going to be a big movement of people from one area to the other, or do you think they'll remain where they are and just maybe do different things?
I think there will be some movement, and actually I have a client who I worked with right before this broke out who was looking to move to another city and has been interviewing in other cities, which I think is pretty amazing. They've been doing face-to-face, not Zoom interviews, and so I think there will be some movement. Like you said, you know, there are going to be people who reflect and say, hey, you know, I've been doing this type of work and I don't really love it. I want to do something I want to do, and I want to live where I want to live. So there will be some movement for sure.
People who take stock in their life, David.
And say, hey, I want to make some changes.
Yeah, I guess we've been working from home now since the middle of March, I guess it is. And from the beginning, I knew that I had to do the same thing and go about the same routine in terms of getting up at the same time, doing the same things before, even though I wasn't getting in the car and driving to work, although I was tempted to take a ride just to keep everything exactly the same because I thought that'd be the best way for consistency. Yeah. For people that have not yet, and by the way, for the text lines are open at 870-870. If you have any questions about resume writings or about changing jobs or in this case, as I'm talking to Christopher about working from home, if you've not yet figured that out or are struggling with it, I determined that it had to be the routine as usual. Jordan's working from home. He's doing a little bit differently. Tim's going to work, so nothing's really changed for him. Did you have a hard time adjusting to working from home when you first decided that I'm not working for anybody else anymore?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it short, but when I first decided I was going to do my business, of course, it doesn't just blow up, so you have to work at it, and it takes time, and I was always on the computer and not getting much ROI. And I found myself kind of going a little crazy, a little stir crazy. Mm-hmm. And then it hit me like, you need a schedule. You know, you need to wake up at a certain time, get working, take a break at a certain time, take a lunch like you would if you worked for somebody else, and then plan out the rest of your day and get offline at a decent hour. And so I started doing that. And it's so interesting because I have several friends who have never had to work from home like this. And they were telling me, like, man, I don't know how you do it. And I tell them, you have to have a schedule. When you wake up, don't just jump out of bed, grab your laptop, and start working. Wake up, do your regular routine, get ready, fix you some breakfast, then open a laptop, work for 2 or 3 hours straight, take a 10 or 15 minute break, go outside on the backyard, get some fresh air, come back, go back to work, another 2 or 3 hours, fix you some lunch. You know, you just got to have a schedule. Just like you're very smart, Tommy, to discipline yourself to say, hey, I need a schedule. That's exactly what you need. You can't be on all the time at work, even though you're at home. You have to take some time off.
I just took the cue from football teams who, when they're thrust in different circumstances, they want to keep everything as same as possible to what they were doing before. So I still get up at the same time, shower, do the same thing. All right, we're gonna take a break. Yeah. I'm getting some text here, and please text them at 870-870, because the sooner you text them, the sooner I'll get you some answers from Chris, and you won't get shut out. If you're a worker who lost their job, if you're a worker who was laid off or furloughed, I guess one big question I have is, if I was furloughed, then how do I go get a job with somebody else when they know that, or presume that if I'm furloughed, I'm just going to leave when the other job calls me back? A lot of side stories, a lot of angles of the whole coronavirus, COVID-19, uncharted territory. More with Christopher Fields, HR expert and consultant, expert resume writer, when we return here on WWL. In case you've lost track of the date, which I think some of us may have, it's Wednesday, April 8th. And we continue to plow through this coronavirus, COVID-19, work from home, physical distancing thing. And Christopher Fields is with us, HR expert and consultant expert resume writer. So, Christopher, before we went to break, I asked you about furloughed employees, and to me, it almost seems like when an employee is on strike, where you try to go pick up work, but on your application, they say what happened, and you say I was furloughed. So if somebody is hiring, and it's a long question, if somebody is hiring, who is that likely to be? And if you're a furloughed worker, how likely are you to get work?
Yeah. So one thing, there is a difference between, like you're implying, between being laid off, furloughed, and terminated. And responsible employers need to realize that if you're going to furlough your people, this could have effects on how they get new jobs, like you were saying, and even how they possibly can get benefits. So you need to make sure you code them correctly so they can get money, some of this money that's going to be coming out from the government. And then, but to your question, if a furloughed employee finds other work, or someone who wants to hire them but is concerned they'll leave, they just have to have a real honest conversation. You know, some furloughed employees don't want to go back to their old employer, and some will want to go back. So it's a conversation that has to be had, honestly, on both parts. And transparency. You just got to be honest with each other right now. You know, everybody needs a paycheck. So if you're offered employment and you want to take it, take it. If you are offered contingent employment, you know, you have to stay here and you don't really want to stay there, then you need to think about that before you accept that offer.
Another text comes in here and says, I'm working my way through school as a waiter. Waitress. I don't know if it's a multiple text here from people or what, but anyway, how do you go from one industry to the other, or find part-time work, and with whom should they apply?
Right now, I don't think there's going to be a lot of questions about those sorts of things. You have a lot of employers in retail that are hiring. You have a lot of employers that I fit the list. There was a list of you know, companies that's hiring right now. Most of them were retail, but there are some others too. And I can tell you, I have a lot of people who are looking right now and getting interviews. So everybody's still they're interviewing for sure. The hiring part still probably needs to be figured out, because, you know, you interview somebody, you want them, but do you hire them right now and bring them in to the office or remote work? A lot of questions, but I do know that just about every person that I know that's in a position of authority in a company when I've talked to them about, you know, what are you guys doing, they're telling me that they're still recruiting and interviewing actively. So don't think that that's stopping. It's not.
Another text comes in here. In terms of resume preparation, how can I go from one industry to the other if the job I'm looking for has nothing to do with the job from which I was furloughed?
Well, yeah, you know, we call those, well, we see that a lot, transitional resumes. You're trying to transition from one to another. Sometimes you have transferable skills, similar skills and duties from one job to the next that may help you. Sometimes there aren't those transferable skills. Like, honestly, I'm dealing with someone right now who wants to go from one career to a totally different career. And the only thing that bridges is a degree from 10 years ago. So we're going to try to make that work. So the thing is, you try to find things that are similar. If not, then I suggest you write a nice cover letter along with your resume explaining why you want to do this job. You know, you can say, hey, I've been working for 15 years or 10 years and wasn't really fulfilled. I've always felt like this was the job for me and the place for me or the type of work that I want to do, and I'm looking to get started. I'm intelligent. I'm smart. I get things done. I'm a decision maker. I'm trustworthy. You know, you do that sort of thing. You tell your story in a cover letter and let the chips fall where they may.
When it comes to resume reading, are some of these things automatically scanned where they look for words to kick the resume out or something? Did I see that in a movie, or do you tell me that, or is that right?
That's true. You know, there are applicant tracking systems that try to match up resumes and push people to the next level. But I am seeing companies who are not relying on that as much, and they are actually reading people's LinkedIn profiles, reading their resumes, reading their cover letters, and giving them a true chance to make an impression.
Some of the things that phrases that you should absolutely avoid when you're making a resume, if they decide not to use you or for whatever reason, some of the big mistakes you can make?
You know, a lot of people are big on misspellings, of course. But I think some people will forgive one, you know, maybe one little error or like that. I don't think that is as deadly as it once was, because we see spelling errors everywhere all the time now. But you do want to check your spelling. I think the thing I would say, Tommy, is your narrative. Like, you don't want the narrative of your resume to be too negative, if that makes sense. You don't want it to sound like you're a know-it-all, or you are the best ever and you don't make any mistakes. You know, that doesn't work in the real world. If somebody asks you, tell me about the time you made a mistake, and you say, I don't make mistakes, that's not going to work well for you.
In terms of somebody texted this and just give me a chance. They heard that this is what the text is saying. Basically, it's a long text, but is just give me a chance anathema? Is that just the last thing in the world you want to put on either a cover letter or a resume?
I wouldn't say it's the last thing in the world, but I wouldn't use it too much. You don't want to come across as begging. You just want to say, you know, this is why I think you should give me a chance. So I would phrase it that way. Here's why you should give me a chance versus just give me a chance. But no one really likes for you to kind of manipulate their heartstrings and, you know, I have a family, I have this, and I mean, listen, every once in a while that may work depending on who reads it, but I wouldn't rely on that as a go-to to try to plead with somebody for a job. Just tell them why you think you should do, why you think you're the best person and why you should be given an opportunity.
Finally, somebody wondering about COBRA and benefits and being laid off or being furloughed, et cetera. How does that all work with benefits? Is it dependent on what, every company's different?
It shouldn't be. I would say this. If you're laying off people, furloughing people, most companies might not have an HR department. They should have a benefits department. Make sure you code the employees correctly so when they call into the unemployment hotline, they are coded as being eligible for benefits. That's number one. As an employer, that's your responsibility to make sure that in this time, especially now, people can get their benefits. I'm sorry, what was the next part of the question? I'm sorry.
About Cobra and keeping them going and so forth, keeping the benefits going.
Now that's going to be trickier because it's so much more expensive. Your Cobra should have a time frame for which it runs out. I guess if a company has those means that they can extend the benefits past 30 days, they may be able to do that. But honestly, when it comes to benefits, it's every man for himself out there. I mean, again, a responsible company with some resources, they may be able to give you 30 or 60 days benefits, but it's not mandated, and you just never know. But as far as the unemployment, they need to coach you properly so you can get your money.
All right, I'm keeping you a couple of minutes extra here, but I'm not paying any overtime, all right? ask him if it's true that resumes should only be one page long.
That's what people say. I look at it like this. When I work with a client, I always aim for no more than two pages, no matter how big their career is and what they've done. Mm-hmm. I try to get it down to two pages. So just as long as it's good, like don't add things just to be adding things. The rule of thumb is for every 10 years of employment, your resume should be one page, and you only need 10 to 15 years of employment. So your resume should only be no more than a page and a half. If you've been working for 30 years, no one really wants to talk about the things you did in the 80s or the 90s right now. This is 2020. So keep it relevant.
And quickly before we let you go, have you seen the movie Company Men?
Yes, I have, with Ben Affleck.
Yeah. How accurate is that in terms of older workers that I know technically there can be no discrimination against age, but at one point the woman tells him, you know, get the gray out of your hair, stop smoking, this, that, the other thing. How accurate is that in terms of people that are older, maybe, you know, I don't know, 50 years old or something like that, trying to find a new place to work or something to do?
When that movie first came out, it hit me like a ton of bricks because it was very accurate. Mm-hmm. Everything I thought, that's what's happening out there. I think people are a little bit more open, just a little bit now. But I have still had that. So, Tommy, one of the biggest, not one of them, the biggest concern I get as a resume writer is not race relations, is not sex, it is age. Mm-hmm. Age. Because for most white men, age discrimination is the first time they've been discriminated against. And I get that the most from everybody, you know, men, women, regardless of race. How can I make my resume seem like I'm not ancient or I can't do this job? So it is the number one concern that I get. And I really just try to help them focus on what they bring to the table. And just like I said about a moment ago about editing the resume, not putting things on there from 90s and 80s, you know, keeping it to the things that they've done in the last 15, 20 years, that helps a whole lot. So you can de-age your resume as well by paying attention to the unnecessary dates and get those off of there. Like, no one cares when you graduate from college after the first two or three years. So if you graduated college in 1998, you can take that off of there, the age, the date.
Yeah, because there's ways that, even though you're not supposed to ask, there are ways that prospective employers can get around that. Thank you, Christopher. I appreciate your time. I really do. Christopher Fields, HR expert and consultant, expert resume writer. Hopefully we go back to very low unemployment, but I think there are going to be people that did one thing and now they're going to be doing something else. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike Cooper, president of St. Tammany Parish, to get the latest update from there. Right now we pause for traffic on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.